Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Deb Evans Consulting and Kigo. Unlock your digital potential. Here are your hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Munson.
Hello, geeks. Social Geek Radio is live. Jack Munson with you, flying solo tonight. My co-host Deb Evans is on assignment somewhere in America. She'll be back joining us on Social Geek Radio next week. I do have a very interesting guest from a company in the in sort of the same franchise space with a lot of our friends that have joined us on the show recently. And we've got some interesting security discussion tonight happening with John Christley of Neturion. John, how are you?
I am good. Thanks for having me.
So tell me a little bit about your role and also give me some background information on your position and career.
Sure, absolutely. So I am a career geek, I guess you could call me. I've been in the IT industry for, I believe, 25 years now. After graduating high school, I went into the military, came out of the military, and got right into the IT world. From the Northeast U.S., I worked in New York City for many, many years before eventually migrating down to South Florida, where I reside now. And I've held so many positions within IT. From the early beginnings, I was just a desktop support tech. I became a developer and was writing lots of code. Got into management in IT. And so I've served as a chief technology officer and director of an IT group. And then about a dozen years ago or so, I got into security, because when you're in IT and you're in charge of the IT department, by default at some companies, you now own the firewall and the security as well. And so I started to specialize, if you will, in security, and found that that was really my niche. That's where I wanted to be. And so cybersecurity has been my area, my field of study for the last dozen years. I've owned my own company for many years, providing cybersecurity consulting to others. And now I'm with Neturion, which has been around since 1989. They were founded in Houston, Texas, under the name of Vendor Safe Technologies. And then in 2014, they had new investors. And in 2015, they changed the name of the company to Neturion. They continued to grow and become the service provider that they are today. They've actually done another acquisition of a company called Event Tracker, which was based in Maryland. And so we'll talk a little bit today about what that all means and what we're able to bring together. But the summation of it all is that I am a career IT practitioner. I am a cybersecurity evangelist, so I like to talk to people about security. I've seen a lot of things, constantly learning. Every single day there's something new to see and something new, especially in the recent happenings. There's a lot of issues that are out there that are very difficult for some people to deal with on their own or at all. And so I'm on the vendor side now. I've worked for many years inside corporations as a CISO, as a director or a CTO, and now I'm on the vendor side. So I not only serve as the chief information security officer for the firm Neturion and Event Tracker themselves, but I lend my support and my advice and my guidance to our customers that may not have even dedicated IT people, but in many times they definitely don't have dedicated security folks on staff.
So let's get into the scary stuff that I like to talk about when it comes to security. And, you know, because I think as a consumer, as a layman in this industry, I just hear all of the horrible things that are happening with companies out there. So, you know, give us your best overall. What should we be afraid of in 2017?
Yeah, very timely question. I mean, you know, we happen to be recovering now this week from, you know, a very bad ransomware attack that happened And luckily, I guess knock on wood at the moment, we haven't heard a lot of that here in the U.S. It's been mostly overseas, but that doesn't mean it's not here. I think you're going to find out as time goes on. It probably did hit a lot of U.S. businesses. It's just a matter of, do they want to let anybody know? Did they pay their ransom and just move on, which is the case in a lot of cases. Ransomware is really a scary epidemic because, it takes advantage of our most weak areas of computing, which traditionally is the following. It's unpatched computers linked with users being sent, phishing emails and scams. And you put those two together and the hackers walk right in, it's almost like they're invited in. They get right into these computers and they never leave. It's not like the Roach Motel. But they come into the network and they rattle around a company's network like a pinball in a pinball machine. And it's very difficult, sometimes nearly impossible, to detect that they're in. And again, ransomware, I mean, right now that's the topic of the day. And the whole, this is the WannaCry. And trust me, a lot of people did WannaCry.
Yeah, right.
It really caught, absolutely. And it caught a lot of people off guard. And, it's unfortunate because, lessons should have already been learned a very long time ago. So as an evangelist, as a security practitioner, I say to people, why are you surprised that this is going on? Why aren't you better prepared? The honest answer is there are certain circumstances. It's just very difficult for people to stay armed and ready, and their defense is always up and their system's fully patched. There's no business that I know of that is immune to these kind of threats. Show me one that is, and I'll show you a company that's got their computers all turned off and locked away.
Right.
Anybody who's on, turned on today, if you're connected to the internet, these are issues you have to think about and plan for and be ready for. So ransomware is really the scary stuff. Why are they doing it? It's anybody's guess. Is it to get at some of our personal information or our intellectual property? Yes, that's part of it. Is it to steal financial data and credit cards and, do identity theft? Yep, that's part of it. Is it just to embarrass us or they don't like our government and our leadership and our current president? Yep, that's part of it. You add all that up and you got to wonder, when's it going to end? Well, I don't think it is going to end. So all we can do is get ourselves more secure and defend the best we can and be ready for what hopefully never happens.
Is there a greater threat for, like, we talk a lot about franchise systems on this show, for franchise systems or other types of business structures like that that have, sort of a hub and spoke sort of business model or lots of locations or lots of data in different places? Is that a bigger threat than just your typical big corporation?
Well, it could be. So let's talk about a little bit of what I've seen out there in the world. Brand names or customers' names withheld, of course. If you've got a large chain of some sort of retail and there's a corporate office and they're all connected via the internet or via VPNs to these franchise locations, that's usually done so they can communicate back and forth with corporate. Sometimes they participate in reservation systems and payment systems with corporate. So they're all connected. And the problem is, without the right defenses, like we'll talk about a little later, if something gets into one, it could be very easy to traverse those connections and get into all of them. That's why you see in the news and in media, certain brands, they had 1,500 stores hit. Well, why? It was either that they got into one and they got to all the stores through that one connection, or they, the IT vendors that are in there supporting these franchise operations, installing the point of sales, maybe they left themselves vulnerable. They left the back door wide open because they didn't secure themselves. And so somebody was able to breach the IT vendor or their remote access, which is more typical than not. And once they're in, they're in. Now, how does that compare to a large enterprise? Here's how it could compare. Take a large healthcare system. And if somebody were to break into that healthcare system and get into the electronic health record, maybe they get access to 1 million+ records in one database compromise. Well, if they go to retail in a franchise operations, how long does it take them and how many stores do they have to break into to get 1.5 million credit cards? It really depends on the type of business and the volume at all those franchisees. And the the desire to get into these different entities also matters. You know, if they're going after healthcare, they're probably trying to get the medical records and the identity to do identity theft and do tax returns and things like that. If they're going after financial, you know, payment card operation, franchisee areas, they're probably trying to get the credit cards. So then they can go do fraud with those and typically rack up, you know, electronics purchases and other, you know, purchases online where they're, you don't have to be present to be there. So it just, there's all sorts of reasons why these things happen. It's just a matter of, are you next?
Right, right. I want to get back to the POS systems, but off air, we were talking a little bit about what you described as SMBs using SIMs. Tell us about what that is.
So SIM, you know, we say it S-I-M, but depending on how you spell it, it's S-I-E-M or S-E-I-M. Everybody spells it a little different. And for us, it's security information and event management. And what you want to think about is a place to collect all the logs, all the audit trails of all the activity of what's going on. Now, this could be for a small, you know, let's say a small place that has five computers and one server, or this could be for a place that has thousands of computers and hundreds of servers. It really doesn't matter. The thing is, computers generate a lot of noise as far as audit trails. A lot of information is coming out of these computers. And either you're listening, you've got your ear to the ground and you're listening to that audit trail, or you're not. And if you're not, then you could miss, and this has been proven out, you know, dozens upon dozens of times over the last few years in the press, where companies are not watching the alerts that are coming out of these computers.
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff going on. There's people that are, you know, hackers and malware that are trying to break into these systems, and nobody's watching for the signs. You know, there's a smoke signal going up and nobody's around to see it. Well, the SIM is a technology. There's various technologies out there, and we happen to have one called Event Tracker. This was the acquisition I was talking about earlier on in the show. They're based out of Columbia, Maryland, and now they're part of our family and our team. And what this is it's technology that we can collect all those audit trails from the computers, from the servers, from the firewall, from the antivirus system that is running, you name it, you know, all these things that have audit trails, we can get those into one place. And then what you have is you have a dashboard, you can stand back and you can look and be alerted to weird things that are going on within these audit trails. Now, what are those weird things? Well, maybe you see that, you know, Nancy is logging in at 3 a.m. in the morning trying to get access to a database, and you know, she doesn't work at 3 a.m. and the store's not even open at 3 a.m.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Weird things that are going on that otherwise.
So it's probably not Nancy, right?
It's probably not Nancy. And if it is, you got to have a little chat with Nancy, right? And so these SIM, you know, they are technology. I mean, technology does not fix everything in this world, but as technologists, we do have technology that can help us and help our customers. How this applies to the SMB community, you know, the small and medium business, we offer this at a very, very low monthly fee per site. And there's a lot of SIM out there. If you go out and you shop around, you're going to find it's a very, very expensive proposition to get into. You can easily get into the hundreds of thousands of dollars for this kind of technology. And the SMB community sometimes does not have those kind of funds.
Right.
So what ends up happening is they're not able to arm themselves with the same tools as the large enterprise because they simply can't afford these kind of tools and this kind of technology. Even if they could, then it becomes an issue as to, well, who's going to watch it? Who's going to manage it? Who's going to be woken up at 3 a.m. and respond to an alert? So we offer this as a service, a cloud-based service, and very easy to implement. And you put a small piece of software on these computers, these registers, these servers. We get the logs from the firewall. And then we have a service that will watch these for the customer and alert when there's anything that's found to be abnormal.
Great, great. So the client can sleep at night and you're going to be watching it. So
that's
the biggest benefit to me. Let's talk a little bit about POS systems. And if I'm a franchisor and I'm looking to, you know, choose a new POS provider, what do I need to look at? I mean, there's so many options out there, and I wouldn't even know where to start.
Sure. You know, we're not a point of sale company, but almost every one of our customers has some sort of point of sale in use. And, mm-hmm. and so regardless of what industry, so we have a lot of experience around the good, the bad, the ugly around point of sale. And here's what I could tell you in my humble opinion. Nowadays, if you're going to go out and you're looking, you know, your brand new business, you need to pick a point of sale, or you've had your system for a while, it's time to replace it and upgrade. One of the things that I would tell people is, you know, obviously for business purposes, you're going to want to make sure it's got all the bells and whistles that you want to run your business. But beyond that, nowadays, you're going to want to make sure that that thing is secure. And you're going to really want to ask the vendor how they keep that system up to date. Because again, patches, it's not just for, you know, the operating system. It's for the point of sale as well. The point of sales have to be kept up to date. From time to time. And so how is that done? The other part of it is, as we talk, you know, in a little bit about PCI compliance, you know, around payment areas, mm-hmm. how compliant is that system? You know, nowadays, the swipe systems are being phased out. I'm sure we've all gone to a restaurant or, a superstore somewhere, and you'll see that they're starting to phase out the swipe cards. They're on their way out. You'll see some places say, hey, we're almost ready for those chip readers. We're not quite ready yet,
right.
But they're coming.
Right.
And that's because, you know, as an industry, they've realized and they figured it out a long time ago that swipe technology is no longer safe enough.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that important to, choosing a point of sale? It's because you got to make sure that the point of sale system can use the latest and greatest, you know, chip-enabled cards or look for something else. I mean, there would be no reason anymore to buy a system that is based on or upgrade to a system that is based on the older swipe technology. That's almost going backwards.
Yeah.
So those are a couple things. I mean, you just want to – yeah, go ahead.
How soon are we going to be a chip-only society when it comes to these POS providers?
Well, you'd think we'd already be there already, you know,
yeah, that was supposed to be like 2 years ago, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, some of these mandates are coming out. I know, you know, the PCI Council, of which I do sit on their SMB and cloud task forces, I know they would love nothing more than to have this already out there. Now, the issue is, so it's not that the PCI Council doesn't want it out there. It's not that the merchants don't want it or that anybody doesn't want it. It really comes down to the availability of the hardware, the technology, because it is a refresh of the technology.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, there's a lot of testing that goes on behind the scenes between the point of sale application, the swipe terminal itself, and the bank, you know, the processor that has to process that transaction. And all the stars have to align in order for them to be ready. Now, it's coming. I can tell you that with our customer base, we have some customers that have already gone down that road and they've got their devices in place. And then we have other customers that haven't even started yet. And so it's just a matter of, you know, I think it'll take another year or two for full adoption and full availability. And then everybody should be there. And that's my guess. That's where we're going to be. I know areas like the UK, they've already been doing it for years and years. And they look at the US going, you know, what have you been waiting on?
Right, right. What do you see as, in the few minutes we have left, what do you see as sort of the biggest threat with everything we've talked about today? What's the one thing that franchisors need to be on the lookout for the rest of 2017?
You know, I think from where I sit and you know, we help hundreds and thousands of franchisees with their issues. And one of the main topics I see is that owners, you know, if you're an owner of a franchisee, you know, it could be one store, it could be 100 stores, but you're an owner.
Mm-hmm.
As an owner, you want to focus on, you know, growing the business and adding more stores or getting rid of ones that are not performing. And sometimes security and the whole IT operation becomes less of a focus until it's too late. The minute that you're breached and your store is identified by the credit card brands as being in a breach, then everyone gets really excited and interested in security. And that's unfortunate. And so, you know, I think that the owners of the stores have to take some measures to protect themselves. If they don't do it themselves, they've got to bring in people that can help them. They've got to make sure that they, you know, there's a couple of really basic things. Make sure you've got a really good inventory of everything you've got in your store that's plugged in, you know, that's a piece of IT gear. Make sure that everything is as up to date as possible with patches. And if somebody's not doing your patching for you and you're not doing it, then it's not being done. So you need to seek out, you know, somebody that can help you. And is it going to cost money? Yes, it's going to cost money. But what's the alternative? You could end up in a breach where if you're part of a franchisee operation, your corporate entity may cut you off and not allow you to participate as a franchisee anymore because you didn't protect yourself. They could do that.
Wow.
You could be shut off from taking credit cards, and the fines are nothing to laugh about if they come down. But, you know, you could have somebody like American Express just tell you, we don't want you to take American Express anymore because you've obviously proven that you can't secure that kind of data at your facility.
And could they say, not just for that one franchisee location, but for the whole system?
Well, I think it would be a little harder for you know, a company to do that. I can't really speak for them. Could they do it? I'm sure they could. I think there'd have to be, you know, super circumstances for that to happen. But, you know, you really, and we preach brand guard, you know, protect the brand. A lot of times if you're part of a franchisee, you might be part of this corporate entity. And so if there's a breach at your site, maybe it's not you that's in the press, it's the corporate entity and their name is in the press.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you can definitely see a trend going on nowadays where the brands and the boards are getting way more interested in making sure that SMB and franchise operators, they are actually compliant with what they're supposed to be doing through, you know, regulations like PCI and other things. And some of these are so easy to take care of if you would just take a moment and allow it to happen. Now, again, if you don't have anybody on staff, then find yourself a vendor like Neturian. Now, we don't do everything, but we provide a lot of tools on that toolbox to help you get further towards that finish line of where you need to be. You know, we're not a point of sale installer. We don't do patching of systems, but there are vendors that we know that we can recommend that do that. And, you know, together we all help that franchisee or that owner keep their system secure, try to keep you away from the hackers. You know, there's no guarantee that you will never be hacked or can never be hacked, but you got to try.
Yeah.
And you can't just trust that technology you put in 5 years ago is still going to be helping you the way it should unless somebody's care and feeding it.
Excellent. Well said. In a couple of minutes we have left, if somebody has questions about any of those issues, recommendations, you know, looking to answer some questions for security issues that they're worried about and they'd like to continue the conversation with you, what's the best place for somebody to find you? Is it LinkedIn? Is it a website? Where can we connect?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is www.neturion.com. It's NETSURION, neturion.com. Or our other company is eventtracker.com. It's eventtracker, TRACKER.com. I'm going to give you the toll-free number to the company. That's the easiest way to get us. It's 866-559-2170. We're on Twitter at Neturian. Those of you that want to reach out to me directly, I'm on Twitter at Chrisley. The last name is Christ L-Y. It's C-H-R-I-S-T-L-Y. And my email, for those of you that would want to reach out and possibly get some consultation or discuss some opportunities, my email is jchrisley. So it's jchrisley@neturian.com.
All right. I think you've got it all covered then. We will we'll share those links on the Social Geek Radio Facebook page and website as well so our listeners can find you easily. John Chrisley, the Global Chief Information Security Officer. Wow, that's a title. For Neturian. Thank you so much for bringing us up to speed tonight on Social Geek Radio, and we look forward to chatting with you again very soon.
Thank you very much.
All right. That's the show for tonight. We'll be back again with a live show next week with our co-host Deb Evans. And good night, everybody.
Thanks for joining Social Geek Radio. Brought to you by Deb Evans Consulting and Kigo. Unlock your digital potential. Copyright 2017 Social Geek Radio.